Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. One thing you may not know about her is that she is on faculty at Life University in Atlanta, Georgia. She teaches graduate chiropractic students how to educate their patients. An interesting fact about our co-host Jessica Labby is that she had her own radio show in Burlington, Vermont for 9 years. Mike Clark, our producer, is in a folk combo, Scattered Chickens, where he and his buddies play African drums, mandola, and mandolin. Quite an accomplished bunch. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
So, Michael, did you come up with the name Scattered Chickens?
No, actually, my friend did. It's kind of a crazy name, isn't it?
Does it represent what you're like?
It's actually, we were watching the rodeo after a football game, and that's one of the terms they use for rodeo clowns. They're scattered chickens.
Oh, so,
that's a good name
fabulous.
For a band.
Yeah.
So you're a rodeo clown.
Yes, I am.
That's great.
Well, we're here today to talk about the food pain inflammation connection. And this is a very intriguing topic. And I have to say, over the years with our patients, I see such a clear correlation between the potential for daily aches and pains and what people eat. And I believe that a lot of people just don't have a clear sense that that can be the case or how to figure out what's making them not feel right. There was an article by Newsweek's reporter Ann Underwood, and she said researchers are linking inflammation to an ever wider array of chronic illnesses. Suddenly, medical puzzles seem to be fitting together, such as why hypertension puts patients at increased risk of Alzheimer's, or why rheumatoid arthritis sufferers have higher rates of cardiac death. They're all connected on some fundamental level.
It's all about what we put in our bodies, huh?
Yeah, because ultimately our diets really substantially determine the inflammation levels in our body.
Right.
And that can really directly impact how much pain you carry around with you. Hay fever, heart disease, depression, and diabetes, they're four very different conditions with one common denominator. Inflammation is the root of all four, which is really interesting. And then even this guy, Dr. Nicholas Perricone, says even our crow's feet and laugh lines are due to an inflammatory process in the skin. He says we consider inflammation the single most powerful cause of the signs of aging.
I must not have inflammation then, because I don't have any crow's feet.
You don't. And remember we talked about how you stay so hydrated?
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
I don't think you eat anything that's inflammatory on a regular basis.
Not on a regular basis, but every once,
you can have
every
your moments.
Once in a while.
Yeah, we all have our weak moments.
Yes, I call them after school specials.
Well, and to put this all together, this author, Neil Bernard, says when we look at the foods that cause painful symptoms like migraines, arthritis, or digestive problems, there's clear patterns that actually emerge. The foods that trigger migraines are strikingly similar to the list of culprits for arthritis. These same problem foods show up again in irritable bowel symptoms, Crohn's disease, and fibromyalgia.
So you kind of have to pay attention to what you're... I mean, if you get a headache or something, you should pay attention to what you ate that day or something like that.
Exactly.
It could be triggering reactions in your body.
That's right. Yeah. And that's what we'll navigate today.
Right.
Because, you know, sometimes it's not just headaches. If you look at what is inflammation or how does that represent itself in the body, it can be joints that are red or swollen. It can just be aches and pains, like joint stiffness, muscle stiffness.
Right.
Headaches, like you mentioned, wrinkles, like the doctor mentioned. Just loss of energy, just tired all of the time. Definitely bowel upset, like gas, constipation, bloating.
Yeah, and most people will blame that on their schedules or something like that, you know, but it could be what they're eating.
Well, it can be, and it can be compounding factors,
right.
You know, and obviously even in our office when we work with spinal health, that can be a factor.
Yep.
But food is one thing that people tend to ignore the connection.
Right.
It's not as obvious. Even, you know, having a runny nose or facial swelling, being irritable, having skin rash, skin hives. There was another author, David Seaman, that said, eating a diet comprised of the inflammatory foods creates a tsunami of inflammation within the body that will hit joints and muscles sooner or later, causing pain and suffering. At this point, people start taking NSAIDs, or Tylenol, NSAIDs are aspirin or ibuprofen, and all the while continue to eat the same inflammatory foods that cause the problem.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up. I know somebody who recently went to the doctor because of migraines, and they figured out it was triggered by a certain food. So the doctor said, here's a prescription for this medication. About a half hour before you're going to eat one of these foods, just take this pill.
How about not eating the food?
Right.
Exactly.
Duh. Well, and I guess the big question is how do you know if there's foods that are causing aches and pains? So that's what we need to figure out. And here's what's really interesting is the food that you should avoid is sometimes just very particular to you and your body. But there are certain foods that are more likely to cause an allergic reaction or sometimes just a sensitivity. Do you want to guess what they are?
Cheese.
Yeah, dairy.
Dairy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wine.
Yeah, red wine, I guess, sometimes because people have headaches.
Yeah. We'll talk about the sulfites in red wine.
Yeah.
Also wheat.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That would be a bummer.
In corn. And nightshade vegetables. Do you know what nightshade vegetables are, Mike?
No, I have no idea. I haven't even heard the term.
So it's a group of vegetables and other foods that would include eggplant.
Which makes me very sad.
I hate eggplant.
Tomato, potato, colored peppers, so not black and white peppers. And then it also includes tobacco and, interestingly, Motrin. They all have the same chemical. And what happens with nightshades is some people have no ill effects with them at all. For other people, though, it can make them very, very achy.
Interesting.
This author, Anne-Marie Colbin, talks about how the other thing with nightshades is it can just very subtly remove calcium from the bones and then deposit the calcium in joints, kidneys, and arteries.
Sounds like kidney stones to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ouch.
You know what's interesting about nightshades was when I first read this, I thought, well, that's interesting. Well, maybe I should test it in myself. I was maybe 26 years old thinking, of course, it's not going to be positive.
Like 2 years ago?
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, I so needed that. Sweet. Thank you. Well, what I did was,
some money now?
I took a week where I had no nightshades whatsoever. Nothing, not even tomato in a product, like say salad dressing with tomato, nothing like that. No potato products, no eggplant, and no colored peppers. And then I took one day where I had a whole bunch of it. Every meal I made sure I had some. And I remember this distinctly because I was back in Iowa at my parents' house because I was planning our wedding and I had gone, you know, to meet with the caterers and all of that. So I'm laying in the bed I grew up in and I wake up the next morning and I felt like a 90-year-old woman. Every single joint in my body hurt to move.
Interesting.
And wow. It took about 2 hours and I felt normal again. But what I've realized is if I have just too much pasta, say with tomato sauce, on the same day I have some type of potatoes, I might wake up the next morning and feel a little bit achy all over. So I've just learned to monitor it. But isn't that interesting? So sometimes when people are just really achy, I remember this one patient one time was just complaining how she was so achy. And I brought up nightshades and she just looked at me and said, well, it's tomato season. I've been eating the tomatoes from my garden like they're apples. So every year now we joke that I'm achy. Well, are you eating the tomatoes? And she'll say yes. And she sees the correlation.
She didn't realize it at all.
Yeah. And then interestingly, if you're sensitive to something, you usually crave it. So those are the people who say, I can never give up tomatoes. I love tomatoes. You know, and other people can eat those foods with no repercussions.
Right,
but for some people, nightshades are a big deal.
So it's good to be aware of it.
It is. Some of the other foods across the board that can cause achiness is sugar. So listen to this study, Jessica. They wanted to see if sugar could elicit pain. So these researchers at the Veterans Administration Medical Center in Minneapolis tested a group of young men, and what they did was they'd put this electrical clip on the skin between the fingers, and they wired it to an electrical stimulation machine, and they basically would zap them, and they would gradually increase the voltage and asked when they would feel pain. And they would monitor and record this, and then they would have the men eat some sugar, and they retested. And what they found was they felt pain sooner and more intensely after having sugar. And then interestingly, they did the same test with people who were diabetic, which in general, those people have more sugar in their blood, and they were also more sensitive to pain. Hmm. So eating more sugar, you can feel more aches and pains.
Sugar's just bad for you.
Oh, I know that about myself.
And really the question is, what would it mean for you if you found out that eating foods with sugar or something else caused pain to hurt just a bit extra? Well, and here's the bottom line is inflammatory foods make up about 80% of the average American's calorie intake.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, and as a general rule, you know, people are just more achy than they should be. And along with the sugar, especially refined sugar, is refined grains and flour products, so all the breads and bagels and pasta. Refined oils, which are in just about everything, if you see hydrogenated oils or partially hydrogenated oils, and fatty meats. And, you know, probably goes without saying tobacco as well is naturally an inflammatory.
That's just bad all the way around.
I know. So let's go in a little more detail and talk about the most common inflammation triggers. Now, we talked about dairy products. And by the way, these also are major arthritis triggers. So we have dairy products, eggs, again, for some people, not for everybody, citrus fruits.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? So grapefruit and
that would be a bummer.
Oranges and strawberries. Yeah, for some people, they can be very sensitive. They'll notice they're more achy. The next one would be meat. And that includes, you know, all kinds of meat. So beef, pork, chicken, turkey, even fish. And what's interesting is they're very popular foods, obviously. But for some people, it's like a subtle form of poison ivy inside of their body. It just sparks inflammation and pain for people who are sensitive to it. And the theory is that from an evolution standpoint, we maybe haven't adapted to these foods.
Right.
And then the next one is wheat, which is very common. You know, there's so many people who are gluten intolerant or wheat sensitive. I mean, if you just look at all the grocery stores now that have whole sections with gluten-free products, a lot more restaurants are having gluten-free products, which is excellent.
Oh, yeah. I feel so much better when I'm gluten-free.
Yeah. I notice with wheat, I don't necessarily have pain, but I have a little more like a clear runny nose in the morning if I've had wheat. Even if I actually had, let's say, a bowl of cereal, like immediately after eating it, I would feel slightly more stuffed up.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? And then also nuts and peanuts. You know, nuts, especially peanuts.
A lot of people are allergic to peanuts.
Yeah.
Well, you see the warnings and all the labels, you know. They tell you where they process it.
Where they came from.
Right, right.
You know, and some people have a severe reaction to peanuts. And then there's other people that just have a subtle sensitivity. And it may be aches and pains. And they don't notice it.
Right.
Probably the least likely to cause an ache and pain would be almonds. And after that, walnuts. And then the more the raw the nut is, the better. And then, of course, tomatoes we talked about and potatoes. And then also corn. And this is what's interesting with corn is, corn is naturally very low in tryptophan and in amino acid called ALA. And tryptophan is what makes serotonin, which that naturally reduces our sensitivity to pain. And it's ALA, which keeps inflammation at bay. So when corn, you know, really does nothing to help with pain or inflammation, and it becomes a huge part of your diet, you can be more likely to be inflamed or in pain. And, you know, corn is a huge part of Americans' diets.
It's in every product.
Everything. Yeah.
I mean, even if you start looking for corn starch, you look for corn oil. Yeah, it's everywhere. High fructose. And then we talked about sulfites in wine that you mentioned, and they can cause migraines. I actually had that happen to me when I was in my mid-20s. I had a glass of wine, got a severe migraine, and I found I couldn't drink wine. Interestingly, though, 10 years later, I woke up one day and I thought to myself, you know, I'm a different person. My cells are different. I've completely worked on my health and my spine for 10 years. How do I not know that I can have wine now? And so I called up my good friend Richard, who's a wine aficionado, and I said, Richard, I'm coming over for dinner and a glass of wine. And knowing I didn't drink wine, he said, okay. And interestingly, I was fine.
Yeah.
And
well, they say your body changes. You know, you can all of a sudden become allergic to something or not, you know.
And usually it's a time of stress. So say after a pregnancy, after something traumatic. But conversely, it can also happen after you've been working on your health, after chiropractic care, after you've been working on your diet.
Oh, yeah. People all the time can eliminate their allergies.
Right.
Especially food allergies.
Yeah. It's good to know that it's not something we have to be a slave to. And then one last thing we'll go to break is, you know, people will comment that they have menstrual pain. I'm sure this is not something you have to worry about. And there's a lot of evidence that having meat in your diet will cause hormone shifts. So what happens if you can avoid animal fat and keep the vegetable oils to a bare minimum, the body makes less estrogen. And at the same time, if you have a lot of fiber like vegetables, your body can help eliminate the excess estrogen. So we find people who have menstrual issues, if they really try to avoid meat and eat more vegetables, they tend to do better.
I've heard women going through menopause are told to lay off red meat too.
Probably for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, maybe that's why I don't have menstrual pain.
That's right, because you don't eat meat.
Nope.
Very interesting.
Except bacon.
Except bacon, that's right.
Bacon cupcakes.
Gross. On that note, we're going to head to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, well, what are the foods that are not inflammatory that we should focus on eating?
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Welcome back. We are here in the studio discussing the food pain inflammation cycle. And we are to the point where we're finally going to talk about, well, what can we eat that we know will not produce inflammation? And, you know, Jessica, you've heard me talk about nutrition for a long time. Mm-hmm. Whenever we talk about what we should eat, what is the number one thing it always comes down to?
Vegetables.
That's right. If we just eat more vegetables. The thing with vegetables, it's they're the richest dietary source of substances that are known to affect the biology of inflammation. So the more vegetables we eat, the less inflamed we are. And, you know, if you've ever studied the Mediterranean diet, vegetables are a huge part of that, and that's one reason it's an anti-inflammatory diet.
I wish they
diet.
Tasted like potato chips, though.
They can.
Kale chips.
Yes.
What are they?
Kale, made from seaweed.
Really?
Yeah, they're actually pretty good.
Oh, you have to make me some.
Yeah, it's good. Also on the list would be fruits, raw nuts, healthy proteins, so really meat that's more lean, skinless, fresh fish, eggs, especially if they have omega-3. And of course, this means assuming you're not sensitive to them. And then the best oils, olive oil, coconut oil, butter. There's really no need to cook with anything but those three oils. And then, of course, having fish oil in your diet, which we'll talk about. And then there's certain spices, actually, this is interesting, that are naturally anti-inflammatory. And, you know, in our country, we're not as into spices as other countries.
Oh, I am.
That's true, actually. We can learn from you. So tell me, are these spices you cook with often, guys? Ginger?
Yes.
Turmeric?
Every day.
Rosemary?
Nope.
I love rosemary.
I do, too.
Oh. Oregano?
Love it.
Garlic?
Who doesn't?
You don't like garlic?
Well, I don't want to smell.
She's afraid she might have bad breath.
I think it's got great properties in it, but I just can't do it.
I love garlic. That's probably the most common thing I use. And coriander.
No.
So cooking regularly with those spices will help make sure we reduce inflammation in our body. And also keeping these anti-inflammatory foods, it helps prevent heart disease and it helps reduce symptoms and the disease of rheumatoid arthritis. Very important. So let's talk about fish oil.
You know, we
probably heard about omega fatty acids.
Yep.
And just to keep it simple, there's fatty acids and specifically the omega, they're called polyunsaturated families. They're the precursors of hormones that mediate inflammation processes in the body. So basically, taking a fish oil supplement or eating foods high in fish oil is like taking an anti-inflammatory drug. Mm-hmm. They're that powerful. And you can find fish oil supplements. And
you want to look for something
that's high quality. And what you want to look for is something that has what's called EPA and ideally at least 400 milligrams of DHA. And EPA, if you're just trying for wellness, no major symptoms, about 500 milligrams. If you have some major inflammatory processes going on, you can have as much as 3,000 milligrams a day. And where you can find it naturally is an oily fish. That would be salmon, sardines, herring, trout, black cod, and also in oysters. But, you know, you'd have to eat those types of fish several times a week. So even if you're going to eat the fish, it's smart to take a fish oil supplement.
I'll take the supplement, thank you.
And the DHA is basically what EPA is converted to. The liver changes it to DHA. But you can get the DHA right in the supplement, and that's the fat that builds the brain. That's why like infant formulas have finally added the omega fatty acids, because they realize that breast milk has it. And there was a study done that showed children who had breast milk versus formula actually were smarter.
Interesting.
Yeah, so finally they've been adding omegas to formula.
Trying to copy nature.
That's right. That's right. And it's important to take fish oil with vitamin E. So a good supplement will have vitamin E in it. And then there's also something called GLA that you could take about 1,000 milligrams per day. You just can't get it in edible foods. And again, fish oil supplements, I think like evening primrose oil as well, can have GLA in it. You can also get omega-3s in walnuts.
Yep, nuts.
And avocados, which is good. But it's really one of the best anti-inflammatory things you can do. And this is one supplement I recommend everyone take just for wellness, even children. I even give it to my dog. So there's some more specific ways that you do. So how else can we reduce inflammation? Now, we talked a little bit about ginger. Ginger is actually very, very powerful.
And I always have ginger on hand.
I wish I liked ginger. I try so hard. I really want to like
it. Strong.
It's like pickles. I just can't like it. Yeah.
Well, if you make a soup or something, you could put some in enough. My husband doesn't like ginger either, but I still put it when I cook his food.
I have done that. If it's in soups, I can do it. But ginger is excellent. It's great for inflammation. And then this is interesting. White willow bark. You ever heard of that?
No.
You can buy it in supplement form. And supposedly this was the natural version of aspirin.
Really?
Yeah. And there's research that shows that it can reduce pain as effectively as Celebrex over a 4-week period.
Well, where would you get that? Like a natural food store?
Like any health food store, yeah. Just look for white willow bark. Huh. Yeah, and then pineapple. I always tell patients to eat pineapple before and after a surgery because it has a unique enzyme, called bromelain, and that helps with inflammation. There's even a study that shows that bromelain helps with recovery time after injury. So this one study with ankle sprains, 50% faster return to work if they had bromelain and a 30% faster return to exercise.
Interesting.
Nice.
Yeah, so pineapple is good, and unfortunately, it's not always easy to get. I was just in Jamaica, and we had pineapple every day. So I came home, and I decided I wanted to buy pineapple because I missed it. It tasted nothing like
it's hit or miss
the pineapple. It's very hit or miss.
It's hard to prepare, too. I mean, you have to wrestle with it, you know?
Wrestle with your pineapple.
Yeah, okay.
And then the next thing is hot peppers. You know, we really can't underestimate the value of hot peppers with helping with inflammation. They have an active ingredient called capsaicin, and that depletes the pain neurotransmitter substance P, which basically means it can take away pain.
The harder, the better for me.
Yeah, so cooking with hot peppers is great. And then, of course, like we were mentioning, avoiding wine if you are sensitive to sulfites. The thing with the benefits of reducing inflammation, they're immediate. And they're also long-term. So you'll notice that your skin looks younger, your joints feel better, your allergy symptoms will improve. And at the same time, when you reduce inflammation, you also reduce your risk of heart disease, Alzheimer's disease, cancer, osteoporosis, diabetes, and just other complications of aging.
That's a lot of bad stuff there.
So how do you figure this out? Because this is a lot to navigate. One thing that I recommend is, if you remember, we did a podcast on how to do a cleanse. And I posted on our podcast site a page called Non-Allergenic Easy to Digest Foods. Now, these are the same foods that are low inflammatory. So if you want to go to the podcast site, you can download that form. And that's just a guideline of foods to eat that will be less likely to inflame you. And then what you do is you do a 2-week test. It's basically like a food elimination diet. And there's three things to do. Have an abundance of foods from the pain safe list that you print out. Avoid the common triggers completely. Now, you can do this one at a time, or you can avoid everything. And then foods that aren't on either list can be eaten freely. Once you've completed 2 weeks, pick the food. Let's say it's corn.
Right. And start adding it.
Yeah. Have a day where you have a lot of corn, and then just monitor how you feel. And if you feel no different, then chances are you're not sensitive. If you were like me with the nightshades and you feel extremely achy, well, you know. And it doesn't mean you have to eliminate completely. You just might want to moderate it. Or you might find that the symptoms are so severe that you'll want to leave it out of your life.
And it's not that hard. It's actually really good. And once you're eating those foods on that list you have, You actually stick with it. You start to feel so good.
It's like the cleanse. The most common question is, do I have to go off? You know, yeah. And probably the hardest thing for people to know what to eat is for breads and pastas. But, you know, you can do rice breads, rice pastas. And there's other grains like Ezekiel that are pain safe.
And quinoa is so delicious.
So to end, do you know what our cousins ate? Do you know who our cousins are? If you think of an animal that is like our cousins. Here, I'll show you a picture.
Apes.
Yes. So gorillas, chimpanzees, right. Orangutans. From a genetic point of view, they're our closest primates. Right. And this was in a book, again, by Neil Barnard. And he said, gorillas and orangutans are vegetarians. Neither they nor chimpanzees consume milk of any kind, except as nursing infants, nor do they have corn, wheat, tomatoes, or any of the major diet triggers, except for certain nuts. Chimps eat mainly fruits, followed by leaves, blossoms, and seeds. Obviously, they never eat beef, pork, or fish. Occasionally, though, a chimp will use their long canines to kill and eat monkeys, but that's only a small percentage of their diet, and they cook nothing.
Everything raw.
Yep. So maybe if we took some advice from our cousins, we would all feel a little bit better.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope this has helped you, and please give us feedback. Bottom line is just try to be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.